From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
Jason, how's it going, man?
Chris, great to connect. This is Chris Bosch, and if you're a basketball fan, you definitely know who he is. If you are not a basketball fan, doesn't matter. What he has to say is so relevant to you because we're not talking about basketball. Chris actually doesn't play basketball professionally anymore. He cannot. He lost his career to blood clots a couple years ago. I mean, he was a All-star, two-time NBA champion, Olympic gold medal. He was one of the most famous guys in basketball. And then very abruptly, out of nowhere, he develops blood clots and it ends his career. Doctors tell him that if he continues to play, he is putting his life at risk. And what do you do? What do you do when the thing you have spent your entire life thinking about and preparing for and building on, in this case, playing basketball at the highest possible level, what do you do when that goes away? And you have to figure out who you are and what you do. You have to rebuild an identity. Chris is still figuring that out. And he has a lot of wisdom to share about that journey.
It was nothing I did wrong. It's nothing out of my control. But because of what happened, I can flip it and let athletes know or let entrepreneurs know that, hey, man, do it. Don't wait. Put it into action. Enjoy what you're doing. Put your heart and soul into it because it is what it is. You might not be able to do it forever.
Chris is learning that now. He just released a book, a really great book called Letters to a Young Athlete, which is him writing letters to really himself, to a younger version of himself, someone who is at the beginning of a long journey, who is striving. He wanted to write the book that he wished he had when he was younger. But this book is more than that, as you'll learn in this conversation. This book was really him trying to figure out what he does after basketball. Writing the book was part of the process. And I'm going to get into all of this in a bit. I want to play you this conversation. It's just so wonderful. But first, I want to tell you a little personal story related to Chris, because this is not actually the first time that I've spoken with Chris. So, okay, it is 2010, the year 2010. I am a junior editor at Men's Health, and I get this email from a publicist. And she's like, hey, we would like to invite your boss to dinner with Chris Bosch. And this was like a painful email to get because, well, first of all, why are you inviting my boss through me? I'm not his secretary. Go invite my boss. Go directly to him. But now I got to pass this thing along when, man, I desperately want to go to this dinner myself. I grew up in Florida. I grew up as a Miami Heat fan. And Chris, in 2010, had just left the Toronto Raptors and was headed to Miami to team up with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade for this mega super team that totally, I mean, captivated the basketball world for years and resulted in two championships. So now Chris is about to be on this team and he's going to have dinner and it's going to be with my boss? Damn it. But I was a young kid. What was I going to do? So anyway, I relayed this invite to my boss, but I was like, you know, if you don't want to go to this or if you're not busy, if you're busy or something, I will go. I will be very happy to go. And my boss was busy or didn't care or whatever. I don't know. But he was just like, yeah, sure, you go. And I was elated. And I told the publicist, I will go in my boss's place, which she was not happy about because she wanted the big dog. She didn't want me. It was like some kid. But she was stuck. She had to let me go. And so I went. And so it was at this very fancy steakhouse. It was me, Chris, a high-level television producer, a big name fashion designer, and then Chris's wife and some friends. It was like really intimate. And I sat next to Chris and we all talked and I had honestly very little to contribute because you got these very successful, very wealthy people who are having successful, wealthy conversations about places they've traveled and things that they have and do and whatever. But I contributed wherever I could. And everyone was so gracious and welcoming. And Chris is a really smart guy, like really well-read. So we did have lots of things to talk about. And after that, we went on our way and I just considered it a victory and also a lesson. And that lesson was, go to the places where you are not invited. Get to the table, even if you don't necessarily belong there, because you can prove that you belong there and you can acclimate to belonging there. And you will regret not having been there. It was just such a wonderful moment in my young career. And I really held on to it. I held on to it as like, if I work hard, this is what I get regularly. If I work hard, I am at the table, the cool table, the places where interesting things happen. And anyway, now it is more than a decade later. Chris and I are in very different places. He had unbelievable success in basketball. And then, of course, as you know, is now moving on to other things. And I'm no longer the junior kid at a magazine. I'm running the magazine. And so when we started talking, I told Chris this story. I said, you know, you're not going to remember this, but we had dinner. He did remember the dinner and he, you know, very quickly understood I was the kid back then. And now I'm the boss. And he said,
oh, that's dope. Junior writer to the lead, man. That's what's up.
I know. That's right. It's what we work for, isn't it?
Absolutely, man. You don't work to be average.
You don't work to be average. Chris, that means more to me than I think I even know how to articulate. It's just such a wonderful full circle moment. And anyway, you don't work to be average. We didn't work to be average. And no matter what change comes to us, as it has come to Chris and as it surely will come to me. And as it comes to all of us, in some way, something happens. We couldn't have possibly anticipated it. And it changes the course of our lives and career. Well, there's still work to do. And we don't work to be average. So I'm going to play for you my conversation with Chris about how he reoriented himself and how he still is doing it after basketball. What is life like after a massive change? And how do you keep going? And how do you make sure that whatever you do, you are not average. Coming up after the break. I want to tell you about a podcast called Creative Elements. It is a show that bridges the gap between art and business by talking to high-profile creators about the nitty-gritty of building their creative careers. It has never been a better time to earn a living with the things that you make. Each week, your favorite creators like Seth Godin and James Clear and Vanessa Van Edwards explain how they made an independent living with their art and creativity. By learning how these creators made a living with their art, you will feel more confident earning a living on your own terms too. Creative Elements is brought to you by the Podglomerate, and new episodes air every Tuesday. Subscribe today on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to this show. All right, we're back. So we are talking to Chris Bosch about his new book, Letters to a Young Athlete, but also about his own journey of life after basketball. And I just want to apologize in advance. The audio quality of this conversation is just garbage. Chris was only available by cell phone. I originally had him call into a Zoom room so that I could record it, but the Wi-Fi was spotty. And so then we eventually had to switch over from, I literally called him on my cell phone and I held the phone on speaker up to a microphone. So it's terrible. But what he has to say is so wonderful that I think it's worth listening to anyway. So we're going to start on Zoom and then you'll see it'll eventually switch to that lower quality recording. So Chris, I'm going to start by quoting you to you because it's a good place to start. So this jumped out at me from the very beginning. As I write this, a part of me wishes I was still out there in the mix, chasing rings. But my dad always told me that when God closes a door, he opens a window. Our conversation here is a window for me, a window to explore the game from another angle and to give something back to the game that has given so much to me. So my question to you, Chris, is just to start as sort of big and broad, is like, tell me how you got from one part of that to the other, which is to say, I know, and you were very open about it, that when the Bloodcots first took you out of the game, your first focus was, how do I get back? And it took a took a while for you to find a kind of different opportunity to transition from what you had to what you can build. And that I feel like that's contained in that paragraph. So I'm just curious if you can give me some insight into what that process, what was the turning point? What was the mental shift or the moment in which you were able to see beyond the past and start focusing on what else you had to give?
Oh boy.
I know. I'm starting big.
Absolutely. It's kind of become a narrative now. And I think you probably feel it from reading the book where I found myself reflecting on the past and everything and everyone that helped me on the ascension to success. And, you know, in that reflection, I was forced to really look at things from a different perspective. You know, I never saw myself not playing the game. I had hobbies and things that I love, but my concentration was to be the best in the world at the game, still on top of my game, having the opportunity to do what I do best. And that's with recognition that a lot of people don't have that opportunity to do that. And so when everything pretty much stopped, I mean, it was like, okay, we're competing. I'm an all-star. Man, let's compete. At the worst, we have an opportunity to do what we love, play hard, and we can win ball games. And then you, to go from that to not playing at all and not being able to play, it was not easy. I had to objectively just change everything that I thought I knew and eventually get to the point of being okay with that. So looking at back at the past, I came to appreciate the situations, the hardships, the work to get to that level. And that's being from, like you were saying, you know, those conversations with my father when I was a preteen and a younger child in my adolescence, fast forwarding to where I am now and going through and unpacking those things. Because as athletes, it's just go, go, go. We never reflect. It's just next season, next film session. The furthest you reflect is last season or last night. What did we do wrong? And you're always constantly correcting mistakes. And so to go from that to, I like to call it like a civilian, go from that to the civilian world is shocking. But in going through that hardship, I found, just like you were saying, more people relate to that. And I found myself in that situation. So being away from the game, not having the game anymore. So almost like I'm very much so into martial arts. It's like the sensei, you know, that has to go away and has to go and reflect on his or her art and what to do next and how am I going to do that? And one thing I appreciated was able to take these lessons and hopefully put them into some kind of form to where it can help people.
You later, you share this story about, I think you were in high school and a coach asked you, what do you want to do with this? And you say that that conversation changed your life because it forced you to think about it. What do you want to do with this? Right. And I actually really love, I don't know that that is even the intention of the coach to use the word this, but this is a really great word, right? Because it's beyond any particular skill. It's about a life and it's about everything that you have to bring to it. And it's interesting what you said a moment ago in that you said athletes, and when you're living the life of an athlete, it's not a lot of time to reflect. You're constantly focused on what's next. And so to you, this at that moment, I suppose, would really only be basketball. And yet once you're pulled out of it, the word this has to transform. You have to start to think about, well, what else do I have? What else can I offer? Because, you know, like, and I suppose what you realize is that the basketball was a outgrowth of something that was more core to you, right? Like basketball wasn't core to you. Maybe competition is core, but that's sort of, but I think that goes even deeper than that, right? It's a kind of ability to pursue. Maybe it's a relentlessness is that you how could anybody possibly make it to the NBA without relentlessness? There's something that must be so core to you that when you had to step back and reflect upon it, that you were able to eventually identify and then help build from there. That's just a theory. I'm curious what you think.
So like, just to kind of give you more of a backstory on that instance, I'm assuming that for that story, we were working out and, you know, I still remember the look in his face when he looked at me, like we're doing drills. To me, I'm just trying to work hard and be the best I can be. And he must have been like, yo, this kid is good. But to me, man, it was finding that thing you love. I'm sure you I hope you read the chapter on finding your why. And getting down to the core, like you're saying, getting down to the core of things. For me, man, like I say in the book, it was like I literally love the smell of the gym. Takes me back to childhood when it was just still playing with me and my friends. So being in that environment that you love, being able to go after a directed goal with a team, creating friendships that last a lifetime. Those were the things that I just loved about basketball, being able to play in front of people. I know a lot of people struggle with that, but I came to a point where I loved it. And it was just one of those things where it brings people together. Win or loss, it was a good time. You have parents, you've got friends, you've got summers. It's just like good time, school spirit. So many things embody playing that particular game. Those were the things that I loved.
And that's when Zoom cut out entirely and we had to switch to cell phones. So I asked Chris to just pick up where he left off.
Being that person that people can look up to, and you know, whether that's, hey, are we going to win the game this Friday, or being a good example, that was always very important to me. And that's kind of what I got from his message, because I think you get to a point, if you're lucky, it's not about talent. You know, it's not about talent anymore. It's about putting in the work. It's about being the best version of yourself you can be and holding yourself accountable to that standard. And, you know, it's not easy, but I could tell we weren't talking about the NBA. You know, we were talking about the NBA, but not really. That's when I knew that was one of the moments where I'm like, oh, okay, I can see the NBA level talent reflected in his eyes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we're talking now, we're getting to a point of, hey, we can talk basketball. That's great. But think about other things, the example that you're setting, how you want people to feel, and what your message is going to be as you continue this process of and dream of trying to be a professional basketball player.
Chris had mentioned a minute ago and had written about this idea of starting with your why, identifying your why. And I was really curious to dig into that more with him. So that's what we're going to do. But first, we're going to take a short break. Hey, business owner. Did you know that over 4.2 billion people are active on social media right now? That means if you want to connect with your customers and find new ones, you need social. If you want to build loyalty and stand out for the competition, you need social. And if you want to make using social media easier and more impactful, well, you need Hootsuite. Hootsuite is the must-have tool for managing and growing your business on social. Hootsuite makes it easy to find your audience, whether on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, or Pinterest. You can schedule content, publish posts, and track your success all in one place. Millions of businesses around the world are already using Hootsuite to supercharge their social efforts, and now it is your turn. Go to hootsuite.com/problem solvers to start your free trial and get 50% off your first year. That is Hootsuite, I'm going to spell it, HOOTSUITE, hootsuite.com/problem solvers for a free 30-day trial and 50% off your first year. All right, we are back. And so I'm going to pick it up where I ask him more about that idea of starting with why. A big part of the idea of digging into your why, of starting with why, it's a popular way of thinking in entrepreneurship. And I think the reason for that is because it's so transferable. I mean, you can be running one kind of business and then it falls apart for some reason, or it needs to pivot or whatever it is. And as long as you understand the core thing that you were trying to do, right? Not the individual day-to-day, not even the product offering, but just who are you trying to serve and how are you trying to serve them? Then you realize that you're not boxed into one way of doing something. And that works in every avenue, that works in life, it works in sports. That's why it was also an appealing concept for you, I'm sure. And so I'm curious, did you go through a process either intentionally or just along the way, especially once you had to leave the NBA, figuring out what that why was in a way that could bring you to other things? And if so, like, what did you do to get there?
So like one of the things a lot of people ask me, like, why did you write the book? I got to a point, you know, I always wrote things down. I had always written throughout my childhood and adulthood and all these things. So I was already in the habit of writing things down, and I found myself writing even more when I was out the game. Because it's like, yeah, you're in a position like, yo, what the hell am I going to do? And so my perspective is I was known as a reader. When I was playing, I would read before every game. And in my reflection, and as I was writing these ideas down, or just writing with no judgment or no thought, things just started continuing to come to me. And just like, wow, okay, man, you know what? I used to read all these books, and I know the self-help books, the entrepreneurship books, any type of book that I read, I felt that it translated to sport or to my sport very well. Because just like anything, you have to have mental preparation, mental toughness. You have to be able to persevere through tough times. And it's easier said than done, right? Yeah. I remember reading all those books and it's like, yeah, just do what you love. You got to find that thing and do what you love. And I was like, yeah, okay, easier said than done. Now I'm in this position and I have to find what I love. So writing and music were those things. And I just, you know, just kept doing it. Did it make sense at the time? No, it didn't. It was very foggy, but I just continued to do it and continue to go through my day to day. And I just feel that in doing those things and staying with it, things just start kind of materializing. And then next thing you know, you're having staff meetings on how, okay, let's finish this thing. And hey, this is chapter one, chapter two, chapter three, you know, it just kind of morphed into that. That was kind of one of the hard lessons that I had to learn is that, yeah, I mean, we always talk about, oh yeah, you've got to have perseverance because you've got to get through tough times. And, you know, it sounds good when you're saying it, right? But then when you're really going through it, it's a huge challenge. And so for myself, I wanted to rise to the occasion on that challenge. I always like to say rise to the occasion. I wanted to rise to the occasion and prove to myself that I could weather the storm and I could get through the tough times and make it on the other side with something, with value, which is an idea. It could be an idea. It could be a positive message. In this case, it's a book. And what ended up happening was that I got the idea to say, man, this is the book. Let's write the book that I wanted to read before a game. You know, I've read so many books. There's this, I'm filling in the gaps of the things that I would have liked to have read before a game to motivate me.
I love that. And also it means, tell me if I'm understanding you correctly, that writing this book was really a part of the process that I've been asking you about. How did you figure out what your why was, what your kind of new orientation point was? You put yourself in a position to figure it out, right? Which was, let me just start. Let me start with something that I'm passionate about and that I feel like I have some orientation towards. And then as long as I'm in a position to do that, growth will happen.
Absolutely. One of my favorite sayings, I don't know who said it, but the 1,000-mile journey starts with one step. And it might not make sense at the time, but either way, you have to enjoy it. So whether you're the entrepreneur or the employee that has to pivot because you got bought out or the competition pushed you out and you've got to repivot, those are the moments where, I mean, I kind of came to the realization like, okay, I have a choice. Is this going to help me or is it going to hurt me? I choose that it's going to help and it's going to propel me. I may be down right now. I may be out. But this situation is going to propel me to where I need to go in the future because, right, what other option do you have? You know, and that's one of the main lessons that I learned as an athlete. When pursuing championships and greatness, it's just not going to be handed over to you. And what you want to do, you're going to have obstacles and challenges. You're going to have to get over them. You're going to have to problem solve on a consistent basis. And that's okay. And you just have to attack it with some enthusiasm. I eventually got to the point where, you know, like looking back, like, man, I always like joke, like in writing a book about obstacles, I had to get over obstacles writing the book. So it was kind of like a live self-reflection as I'm talking about doing the work and how I did the work to help me get to where I needed to go in basketball. I'm doing that in writing. It was almost like a live situation. It just took 3 years. And I'm proud of that because we put so much effort, blood, sweat, and tears, and so much thought into this book. So when people read it, I want them to remember that, you know what I mean? And feel that. And it be that book that they feel they can reference. They can put earmarks in and highlight and just beat it up and read it over and over and over. That was my intent with this book because I've read so many great books before.
Chris, I know we're coming up on time, but so let me just ask you this one other thing, which is what you're describing there reminds me of something that I think a lot about, which is, and which I see entrepreneurs and I'm sure you see it as in sports as well, which is that it's really, really helpful if you can do it to reframe failure as data, right? Whenever something bad happens to, if you can just think, well, this is a data point that in fact puts me ahead of the competition because I hit this thing first. And therefore, I have some insights that other people don't. And I wonder if you could just speak to that because I feel like I'm hearing that in the way that you describe getting into this book. Having the experience that you did put you in a position to understand what other people need in a way that you might not have had you had the career that you anticipated having.
For sure.
Well, one, do you feel like that's right, that even at the highest level of competition, that failure is data? And two, that was something that was able to help you throughout this next phase of your journey?
Absolutely. Back in 2011, we lost to the Dallas Mavericks in the NBA Finals. I'm sure you know.
I do.
It was crushing. It was heartbreaking. That's my hometown. I saw people that I grew up with and played high school basketball with wearing Dallas Mavericks championship jerseys. It was just crushing. But yeah, we took it as a data point. And like I said before, you got to get back on that horse. What are you going to do? Yeah, I'm here. You know, it's happened. Next year, we're coming back because these are the data points where we've got to get better at. These are the data points with what we're pretty good at. You know, and we have to process that and then hopefully attack the next situation with a better outcome, hopefully a better outcome, but mostly being okay with the result. So one thing that we had to do, and that's kind of the heartbreaking situation that I kind of had to fall back on, was that after that loss, after that soul crushing, embarrassing loss, we had to pretty much, especially me, myself, I had to find myself, right? I had to be like, okay, you know, you have to be truthful. This is what we did wrong. This is what happened. And so I was able to transfer that disappointment, that heartbreak into what happened to me. So it was nothing I did wrong. It's nothing out of my control. But because of what happened, I can flip it and let athletes know or let entrepreneurs know that, hey, man, do it. Don't wait. Put it into action. Enjoy what you're doing. Put your heart and soul into it, because it is what it is. You might not be able to do it forever. And that's like, you know, athletes, we think it's never going to end. And it ended abruptly. And for me, that one in a million or one in a billion chance happened twice. I got drafted, made it out of, you know, South Dallas to get drafted, you know, unlikely. Man, wow, that's crazy. Then a blood clot. It's like, okay, so what are the chances that even happened? So just getting into that, I would encourage people to enjoy what you're doing. Enjoy what you're doing. Have some spirit about it, even on the tough days. So that's why you have to do what you love, because on those tough days, you're going to have to push through and fight. But if you love what you're doing, that's where the magic happens. Kobe always told me, that's where the magic is. On those days where you're like, ugh, but you're doing what you love and you're in the grind, that's kind of where it comes from. So in my thing, I've been writing all my life, I just fell more and more into it and took it as more of a challenge. And that's not to say like I had the eureka moment right away. You have to consistently work at it. I love writing, so I'm going to write every day. Mm-hmm. And then, boom. I mean, it took some time, like anything else. But if you put in the work, it's my belief that things will eventually happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Chris, I'm going to thank you in two ways. One, because I think that hearing people like you who have gone through a great public challenges and come out on the other side with great perspective is just so helpful for people who are at any stage of that. So I'm really glad that you've taken this opportunity to share the way that you have. And then also just, hey, as a Miami Heat fan, thanks for great championships, man. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, man. Hey, man, that was a great ride. It's good to look back on those days fondly. And I'm trying to bring a little bit of that into the book as well. You know, things might have ended crazy, but it's still a great story. It's still in the works.
That's right. It's not an ending, right? That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's not.
I'm a writer and an author and a musician now. So you might have to start back at square one, man. And it is what it is. But I always try to, like I say, attack it with enthusiasm and just positivity and just be upbeat about it and outstanding about it.
Mm-hmm.
Try my best to have a good day and do what I love. And then, man, just go from there.
And there's really no better way to start than that. Thanks again to Chris Bosch. What a total pleasure to reconnect with that guy. And to say it one more time, his book is called Letters to a Young Athlete. And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.